Today, what I would like to do is pick up where we left off last week in Matthew 5, verse 44. If you could turn with me there. If you weren't with us last week, we were talking about Matthew 5 and the teachings of Jesus Christ and the perfection that we're to come to. And what we saw was that God is asking us to love, bless, do good, and pray for others. That He has given us a way to perfection. He's actually given us steps to walk in perfection. And we talked a lot about where the challenges come from in this process. And so if we could turn back to Matthew chapter 5. And as it says here in verse 44, Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 44, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, I asked the question last week. I'll ask it again. Is this a hard thing? Yes, I hear lots of yeses. This is one of those things, right? This topic. And we talked about last week about why it's hard, because we have this sense of what's right and wrong, this desire for justice. Now, we don't desire justice from God. We like mercy better from God, right? We really want forgiveness. We really want grace. We really want help. But when it comes to us, we have this different attitude, this different perception. And you remember that in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told a parable about this, about the one who was basically forgiven billions, but then he couldn't turn around and forgive thousands. And he wanted to have his money back. And it was not a small sum of money, but compared to what he had been forgiven, it was really nothing. But the thing is that we humanly like this justice. And there's something in us that wants fairness, that wants vengeance, and has us going on a path that we have a hard time with this. But I want us to take an even further step back today when we look at Matthew 5:44. Why is it that it's hard for us? Why is it that it's hard for us? Why is it that when God tells us to forgive others as He forgave us, is that hard for us? Why is it when He tells husbands to love their wives, is that hard for us? Why is it when He tells wives to submit to their husbands as to the Lord, is that hard for us? Why is it when He says don't withhold good from others, is that hard for us? Why is it that this is hard for us, all of it? The things that God has taught, the things that Jesus has taught. Because what I want to do today is I want to step back and look into these questions and just have an understanding of what's going on and why sayings are hard sayings sometimes. Because what might be hard for you might not be hard for the person sitting next to you. But in this room, basically, there's probably every kind of thought or sin that we could look in the Bible and say, well, easy. Oh, yep, I agree with that. Nope, that one, not so much. You know, you might say, oh, I don't have any problem loving those who are my enemies, but please don't ever ask me to go talk to them about an issue. Please don't make me go talk to them about a sin or something that they did wrong. You know, one of the things Scott and I were talking about this week in our pastor class, that when we have somebody come to us with an issue, for some reason, I don't get a lot of people coming to us, but when we do, it's usually about somebody else. And it's like, well, did you talk to them yet? Well, no, I thought I'd come to you with it first. Why? Why would you do that? You see, some people just, it's like that won't happen. We won't go talk about it. But somehow it's easier to go talk to other people. Now, the Bible says don't go talk to other people about it. Go to the person about it. But what happens is we have issues because, hey, I'm all good with loving my enemies, but don't ask me to ever talk to somebody because that might mean conflict. That might mean trouble. And we can build these things up in our minds. And so my point as we enter in this message today, I'm not sure what's hard for you. I chose Matthew 5:44 today because it's hard for us in general. But maybe it's not so much for you, but there's other things that are. But I want to talk about why that is. And I want you to turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want you to notice these words of Jesus Christ here in John chapter 8. And we're going to begin here in verse 42. John 8:42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but He sent me." And He says, "Why do you not understand my speech? In other words, why are you not grasping what I'm teaching you, what I'm saying to you? Why is it that you do not understand? He says, because you are not able to listen to my word. Why do we struggle? Why do the commands that hit us at certain times, maybe one command for one of us and a different command for somebody else, why do we have trouble understanding? And I think if we begin to see what this really is and what's really going on in all of us, in the hearts and minds, we will really come to understand what spiritual warfare is about. Because spiritual warfare is about concepts, ideas, and ultimately beliefs that shape us and other people. And when you think about what it is to overcome, where you think about where the battlefield is, it's in our hearts and minds. Who and what do we believe? And he says here, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Why is it hard to obey God? Because we wanted to do the desires of the evil one. Isn't that what it's been since the Garden of Eden? God says, don't eat of the tree of life. He says, in the day you eat of it, you will die. The devil comes along and says, you will not surely die. It's amazing to me that that is still a principal teaching in most religions, including in most of Christianity. The devil says you won't die. God says, no, you will die. He says you won't die. Take of it. He knows that in the day you eat of it, you're going to be like him. God says one thing. The devil says another thing. What do you believe? And see, from the very beginning, this was his way. Notice what Jesus says. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Israel went into the promised land that God had brought them to. He brings them out of Egypt into the promised land. He said, this is your land. The land that I gave to Abraham. Was the land free of enemies? No. When God gave them the land and he said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to love it here. There's going to be vineyards. There's going to be these beautiful homes. There's going to be these wells that are hard to get. He's sending them to this place, but guess what's already occupying the land? Enemies. And in our lives, in this battlefield that's in our heart and mind, there are enemies. There are strongholds like Jericho and Jerusalem that had to be overcome. It wasn't necessarily going to come easily because there needed to be the courage to look at it, stand against it, and say, that has to come down. You see, when you have strongholds in a land, strongholds basically provide a fortress that makes it hard to get rid of you. But when there are enemies occupying a stronghold in your land, anytime they can break out against you. You never know when they're going to break out. And for so many of us, what happens in our lives is we can even go for a course of time seemingly, quote unquote, doing good. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa. That broke out against me. Oh, wow. Where am I going? Where's my behavior? Why did I just have that outburst? Because it's never really been dealt with. You see, the thing that Jesus is teaching here in John 8 is he's saying, you don't hear me. You don't really grasp it. You're not really buying into who I am, even though I'm of the truth. Because what you believe is a lie. What you believe is a lie. And herein lies the battleground. When the Apostle Paul was saying the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. for pulling down strongholds and bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. What he was saying is, you got these ideas in your head and they're wrong. You got things you believe and you're not going the way of God. That thought, that idea, that belief is not based on the Word of God. It's not based on truth. But God is giving you the power to bring it down. The transformation of power from giving authority to the devil to giving authority to God. Why is it hard for us to go the way of God? Because we are so indoctrinated with a faith in what is of this world. So one of the amazing things about what the devil did, as God talks about how the serpent was cunning and deceitful, how in Revelation 12:9 it says the devil who deceives the whole world, that what he has done is built a system around based on the lies that started in the Garden of Eden, based on lies of things that God has never said, based on an alternative way of living that is not based on a way of love and giving and goodness. It is actually based on your own experience. And he says, hey, whatever is desirable to the eyes, whatever is desirable to the flesh, whatever basically builds up and strokes your ego, what makes you feel good, what gives you pleasure, what gives you delight. And a world has been based on this. Based on what is it that makes you feel good without consideration of how it might impact others. You know, in James chapter 4, verse 1, he says, where do all wars come from? What does he say? From the desires for pleasure within. Do you ever think about that? Do you associate the fact that just going after what you desire and what you want without consideration for what's happening around you, it's where all war comes from. And if you look at the history of mankind, what do we see? The desire for more, the desire for power, the desire to build up self. It is not of God. Years ago, I had an opportunity to counsel with a young man. He had come to me with his wife, and he was in just total bondage to pornography. And in his bondage, as he's sitting across from me, and as we're sitting in chairs, just talking and having this conversation, and it was just very powerful the way he was so beholden to pornography, how it just seemed to be on his mind all the time, every day, and how it was a constant draw and attraction for him in his life, so much so that his desire for his wife had waned, and he was just a different person, and it was so occupying of him. And as I was sitting there, I just realized, as he was telling me what he was doing and why he was doing it and how it was happening, I said to him, this all comes down to one simple thing. And this wasn't genius on my part. I was praying what to say to this man to help him. And the word was, you do this because you believe lies. And I remember he was shocked when I said it. And I don't think I'd ever told anybody that before, but it hit me so powerfully because everything you're describing is a way of thinking and living based on a lie. And the reason this is so tough for you is because you don't even realize you're believing a lie. You have built something in your mind based on your desires for lust, pleasure, your desires of thinking what is good. Even Jesus himself said this, hey, if you lust after a woman, you committed adultery. Is that a hard saying? Yes. Why? Because we believe lies. We believe something is good for us that's not. We believe something is the way it should be, and it's not. And so now what happens is God can say, you shouldn't be thinking this way, but what's happening? There's a conflict because inside of our heart and in our minds, we are conflicted at the very level of where change can take place. Because it's not just that we need to know the truth. We have to believe and love the truth. And at times that means we have to renounce the beliefs that are completely false. See, with that example of pornography, the whole thing of it's a lie. It looks attractive to someone who is desiring for that pleasure, and what is all behind it is bondage, is slavery, is manipulation, is getting you to think and feel a way it's not true. And it comes for a moment and then it enslaves with shame and with guilt. And it ruins real relationships for which God created from the very beginning of man and woman, that within the covenant of marriage, it would be done. It would be so. And yet on the flip side, we have people getting married and having marriages fall apart because the commandment to love your wife as Christ loved the church, to submit yourself to your husband as is unto the Lord, to not withhold yourselves from one another, but that you should be one flesh. Those things don't get believed. Why? Because we're like, well, my wife isn't doing what I want her to do. Or you say, my husband's not being who he's supposed to be. And what do? We hedge obedience to the Lord. And then we get the fruit of it in our relationship. I can't just give myself to you anymore. That's why the apostles, remember when Jesus told them, what God joins together, let not man separate? The disciples were like, I don't know if anybody should be getting married then. It's not always a rose garden. But yet, through the relationship, what is it that we learn? That what I am to do is to follow God's word in this relationship. Whether you're the man or the woman, you learn that in relationship. Why is it hard? Because we believe a lie that if somebody does injustice to us, we should be allowed to do injustice back to them. That if somebody hurts us in some way, we should be able to block off part of ourselves and stop delivering that to the other person. We can stop loving. That's what Matthew 5 is talking about in verse 44. He says, love your enemies. Well, wait, you're saying that I can't give back the way they're giving to me? No. No. And you didn't even make a covenant with that person. Wait, you're telling me I have to bless those who curse me? Yep. Well, that doesn't seem very fair. Who told you to lie that it would be fair? Where did you get that from? Where did you think that you would get to treat people the way they treat you? That if they hurt you, you get to hurt them. If they're withholding themselves from you, you get to withhold. What, they don't greet you, so you don't greet them? Well, great. Then you just did what every sinner does. There's no credit in that. There's no love in that. Because where is your authority? Just like we talked about last week, when you submit to another person's treatment of you, you're giving authority to them over the authority of God. You're saying, I'm willing to hate those who hate me because they hate me. And that's fair. And that's a lie. Lies are told all the time around us. 2020 will go down for me as the year I got slapped repeatedly with lies. If I have to hear about us declaring martial law or the Insurrection Act, or I don't even want to go any further, guys. I'm just going to say this. I hit the fill jar on lies this year. I'm like, I'm so done with it. You know what? This is the good news right here. This is truth. This grounds. You know, when you listen to too much bad news in life, it just takes you down a weird path. Because everything is about distraction and everything's about manipulation of what people want you to think about. They want you to think this way on the right, this way on the left, this way or somewhere in the middle. But what's the truth? And the reality is that the master manipulator, Satan the devil, has been so good at distracting us from God and getting so engaged in the world, he's got us all on the run. How many of you felt depression? How many of you felt despondency? How many of you felt like, what's going on? What's all this worth? How many have been questioning God himself? Because when you feel any of that from what's coming into your heart and into your mind, you better realize what's going on. The master manipulator is trying to come in and get you to believe a lie, that God doesn't care, that God's not engaged, that God's not involved. For this man that I talked about, who I said believed a lie, he still brings that up to me this day. That one phrase changed it all. And my hope today in this message is, maybe it can change it for you to realize that when you look at the Word of God and want to ignore it, want to not apply it, want to not believe it and follow it, maybe it's because you are believing a lie. I am believing a lie. And the difficulty is not with who God is or His way. The difficulty is with me and what I believe. We can get taken on so many courses where the enemy is wanting to put our minds on different things. And you really think about it. What do we think about in our world, in our society, in our politics, in our general actions and businesses? Why is it that a bunch of things happen in a year, and the year before it's like, we weren't talking about any of these things? Who tells you what to think about? Who tells you where your attention should be? See, do we give God the place to be God in our lives to dictate to us, well, here's what I want you to think about. Here's what the truth is. See, the truth is that we are to love our enemies. What if that's all you believed? You're to bless those who curse you. What if that was all you believed? See, the conflict is we don't believe. Or we have a conflicting belief. We have two beliefs. And then depending on the situation and a lot of times our emotions, what do we believe more? You know, it's like when you're dieting, you're like, I believe I should eat good, healthy foods. But I also believe that chocolate's pretty good, right? It's like, oh man, those fried foods. Love them. That 1,000-calorie deliciousness, you know, just... You have conflicting beliefs. Some days you're following the truth that you know, hey, I need to eat this way. Other days you're like, well, the truth is that tastes pretty good. Nom, nom, nom. And you're like making these choices, right? You're making these choices based on what's the stronger belief. But what if you just got rid of the beliefs that aren't true and immersed yourself in believing what is true, challenging the thoughts? This is where the Apostle Paul is saying the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're mighty in God for casting down strongholds to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. We want to punish every thought that comes into our heart, every belief that we have that is in conflict. And one of the great litmus tests we have is when we can read the Word of God and say, I need to apply this, and then we have trouble applying it. We got to just go right to that moment and say, what's the lie I believe here, David? Well, you won't say David. I'd say David. But what's the lie I'm believing in this moment? What's the lie? You see, because whether you are engaged in pornography or you're engaged in gossip, whether you're engaged in not being faithful and loyal in your marriage, whether it's something else that you're doing in life, I assure you there's a lie behind every bit of it, and the authority is being given in that moment. We believe lies that stroke our ego, our pride, our vanity. We believe lies that make us feel good, that give us pleasure. We believe lies that bring us to the point where we are absent from the truth. And this is the manipulation. Notice again in John chapter 8, verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Why can't we listen to his word? Why were they not listening to his word? Because they believed something else to begin with. Can we give God a fair chance here? I commend you in this church. You are giving God a chance. What do I mean by that? There's over 2 billion named Christians in this world. And one of the things that is so fascinating to me was when God started to open my eyes to read his word at the age of 15. I read things and I'm like, no one ever taught me that. Anybody else have an experience like that in their life? That doesn't seem like what I've been taught. I already brought up one from the book of Genesis. How many of you have heard you have an immortal soul? That you are eternal. And either you're going to be spending eternity in a place of hell or a place of heaven. Now, what if I told you that you can read the whole Bible and you'll never find a single place where you are told that apart from Christ, you're immortal or have everlasting life? Not even in the very phrase that's quoted so often from the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not rot and be tortured for all eternity in hellfire. Is that what it says? Actually, it says perish, very simply, to die. But yet this teaching comes into this, and here's what I'm saying. Can we just listen to what God says? What happens to us in our lives is we go in with a bias to begin with. We have a lie that we've heard, and now we're entering into the truth. And he says, you do not understand my speech because you're not able to listen to my word. We have a bias, and the bias blocks us. Do you ever sit and watch? Now, I'm going to just go right out and say it. I tend more conservative in my thinking. Somebody laughed at that. It's like, what, am I not showing it? Or was that not a surprise? I tend to be more conservative. I love God. I love the Bible. I love opportunity. I don't like oppression, and I don't like a nanny state. I feel like man needs opportunity and liberty, and God was very good about giving that. He gave everybody their own land when they entered the promised land. So I tend toward that way. But I'll tell you what, I've been sitting back for the last year, and I'm like, that is a lie. That is not true. And all I have to do is wait for it to play out. People say, what do you think about that? I'm just going to let it play out. So now my phrase is, how much longer are you going to go till you can just say, I was believing a bunch of lies? I don't want to hear one more time about FEMA taking over. I've had it. Give me your end date. If FEMA's taking over, tell me by what date. I want the date. It's going to happen. Because at some point, you have to just say, no, I was believing all this nonsense. Videos go out. You need to have storage because 2 days from now, martial law is taking place. All right, I'm going to let that one play out. I enjoy it. It became a game for me. I'm hoping the game's over. But the thing is this. You can want something so bad, you can look at things and say, this is what it means. And we do it with the word of God in the church of God, in the Christian church. We go in with a bias and say, well, this is what it means. Well, where? Show me that. You know, I know a lot of you have come here because maybe we don't teach about a rapture taking place before the tribulation. I've had many of you talk about that, we're happy that you don't teach that. That's great. But here's the bigger question. When you read through the Bible, how many times did God have either Jesus or the apostles or the writers actually talk about the rapture? I mean, how many times does that word come up? How many times is that phrase talked about in the scripture? How many times can you read it in the New King James Version? How many of you have heard the teaching of the rapture in the church? And how many times did you ever read that in the Bible yourself? Zero. Who's telling you what to think about? Maybe the truth is that we should be talking in the church about the resurrection. But see, the resurrection doesn't go along with the whole concept that you are immortal and eternal already. So in order to cover one lie, you come up with another lie and you avoid the truth, which is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead is a basic doctrine of the church, according to Hebrews 6. And yet it is probably one of the least talked about doctrines among the 2 billion people in the Christian church, because everything is resolved. When you die, you go to heaven or hell, right? Either eternally in heaven or eternally in hell. Wait a minute. I thought I read in Revelation chapter 20 that hell gets destroyed in the lake of fire, right? Revelation 20, I think it's around verse 14. Oh, now we're really confused. You mean hell's not going to exist? No, that's part of the second death. Death and hell, Hades, they're in the lake of fire. wait a minute, I thought people were always supposed to be tortured in hell forever. No, no, that's going to be destroyed. What about the judgment? Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. Did you know that when Christ returns, that he gathers all those who are his? But it literally says, and the rest of the dead will not live again until the 1,000 years are finished. I didn't make that up. Read it in your own Bible. If you don't believe me, write it down. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. The rest of the dead don't live again until the end of the 1,000 years. My point, my friends, is this. We don't go in and just say, I want to hear what you're saying. We go in with a bias of this is the belief. And if you think this is new thinking, this is not new thinking. Do you know Martin Luther, when he went into the Bible, remember he writes his 95 Theses? He said, hey, Pope, this doesn't make sense. You're teaching a doctrine of immortality of the soul and going to heaven or hell when you die. The Bible doesn't say that at all. It actually says that you wait the resurrection at the return of Jesus. Martin Luther taught these things. William Tyndale, who was distributing the Bible, who literally was killed to get the word of God into our hands, that it's so available, he literally died. What did he say? The resurrection of the dead. We're teaching fables and fairy tales. Why? Because we would rather hold on to the lie we've been taught than accept the truth that God is revealing. My challenge to you is this. You don't need to believe a word I'm saying to you right now. But if you want to know, I'll show you where the verses are. And you can believe it for yourself. You can read the word of God for yourself. You can go in and look. But we have been told what to think about in Christianity. Calvinism. Can't read about it in the Bible, but it's a big topic in Christian circles. We celebrate as Christians Christmas and Easter, but yet, where do you read about those in the Bible? And yet the very things that God says, hey, celebrate these things in the Bible, well, you shouldn't do that. That's legalism. So let me get this right. You should celebrate holidays that are not in the Bible. That's okay. But if you actually go to the Bible and read what it says, that would be wrong to do that. Does this make sense? I appeal to you, whether you're watching online or here, if you are having struggle, give God a chance. Let him talk. You don't need to make up your own religion. In fact, I counsel you against it, because eventually the lies will come out and it will lead down a bad road. The truth is what sets us free, Jesus said in John 8:32. The truth sets us free. And the liberty is to come to hold the truth as the truth so that you can refute the lies that you might be holding to in your own life. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I charge you, this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. That's a pretty strong warning, right? Like, let me get your attention right now. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And then notice why he's receiving this instruction. For the time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Is it even true? There are so many teachings that are common in the Christian church that I would just say, did you ever read it in the scripture? If you didn't, let it go. God is fully capable of explaining the truth to us. He gave us 31,000 verses. He lays it out. This is where we have to be hearing our news from. You want to know what to think about? Think about the things that God thinks about. It's such an interesting experience in life where you go into the Word of God and treat it as it is, the truth of God, the word spoken by God, and you sit down with him and just begin listening. Just listen. If you were on an island and God put you on that island, he's just like, I wanted you to be on this island because I don't want you to hear any other voice but mine. He gives you the word and says, I want you to read this, study it, think through it. Think about what you've read in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Think about what I'm revealing. This is the truth. And you begin to live your life based on the things that you read in it. You are going to come to a deeper, greater knowledge of God. You're also going to understand where the lies are. And what's happening in society is we get this bombardment of lies all the time. That's not right. You deserve a break today. That's unjust. You deserve it. You owe it to yourself. And we keep hearing these lies. And then what the enemy does is keeps pumping out lies of every kind. And here's the thing. What's your favorite lie? What's your favorite lie? I assure you, the biggest lies we tell are the ones we tell ourselves. Some of you come and say, God can't forgive me. Where did you read that? Where did you read that? Did you read that in the Bible? Because I can show you many places where God says, come to me, return to me. I will wash you. I will make you white as snow. Just turn around. Come this way. Some of you think, I can't be holy. I'm no good. I'm ashamed. Oh, I accept the forgiveness, but I just, are you a child of God? Are you holy and accepted in the beloved? Do you see yourself in the image that God made you to be, or in an image that you want to hold on to of what you did in the past that you think defines you today, even though somewhere, if you accepted Christ, he gets in the way of all that so that you can be transformed into something brand new, a new creation. We hold on to things that prevent this from taking hold in our lives. That's where the real danger is. Notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice in verse 2, it says, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 2. We have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's liberty, my friends. The liberty of Christ, of the gospel shining in our hearts to see the truth of Jesus. That's liberty. The liberty to be unblinded. The liberty to see a lie as a lie and to deal with it as such. You see, if you're going into Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 and you're saying, you know what, every time somebody curses me, I curse back, then you just got to say, I'm believing a lie. Somewhere I think I now get the right to curse back. But why do you have to believe that anymore? If the truth comes in and says, the trigger is this, when you're cursed, you're going to bless. That's what you believe. If that is what you're holding to and rejecting everything that comes against that truth that Jesus taught, now it can be the way you think. See, the truth is not just something to say, well, that is a true factual statement versus that is a false statement. The truth is only good if it is loved and believed, and that the authority of it takes the highest position in our lives over the other thing. You see, the practice of learning to bless those who curse you is just that. It is an application of truth. It is a belief in truth. It is seeing what Jesus has told you you are to be. And in this one way, it's a manifestation of actually the whole identity that you have in Christ. See, that's the maturation process, right? To see yourself holy and accepted in the beloved. To see yourself as an ambassador for Christ. To see yourself as answering not for what you think here, but what he thinks up there. Setting your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, so that when you give answer, it's a blessing, not a cursing. It's love and not hate. It's doing good. It's interceding for those. Your heart doesn't turn away from the person, no matter how much you might disagree with actually what they're saying or doing, because that might not be in agreement with the truth. See, that's the amazing maturity and perfection of God Almighty. He doesn't turn away from himself, nor what his purpose is in mankind. He's creating all. What does he say? The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. He's just unwilling that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He hasn't lost the work and desire, and he's calling you and me to join him in that work and desire. To say this is the work of God, to come to Jesus Christ, to believe the gospel, because when we know who we are in him, then everything gets transformed. And the authority is not given to what we want or what is common to man, but rather what is the way of God. You and I get to make that choice. The truth sets us free to make the choice. When you're in blindness, you don't know. But you know the truth. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice with me in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21, he says this: I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. 1 John 2, 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. So, I've written to you because you do know the truth. He says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. You know this. You've been taught this. This is the way you are to go. You who have been called by Jesus Christ have been called to know the truth and to know the truth in him. He says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either, for he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Notice right back up there in verse 3 of 1 John 2. He says, now by this we know that we know him. How do you know that you know Jesus? He says, if we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. You see, you go back to Matthew 5:44 again. If you and I are not blessing those who curse us, if you and I are not loving our enemies and doing good to those who hate us, if you and I aren't advocating on behalf of those who spitefully use us and persecute us, then we have to say, do I really know who Jesus is? Because maybe what I know is the lie that's been in my heart, wanting fairness, wanting judgment, maybe wanting vengeance, maybe wanting something completely different. But that's not the truth. The truth is the way of God is that he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And if we want to be kind like God, we have to be kind to the unthankful and evil. That's part of who he is. His character is mercy, graciousness, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. This is who he is. And what he is calling us to realize is that this is the higher truth. And this is what love really is. How do you have love without the expressions going to other people? How do you stop sin from propagating further if you don't apply righteousness where sin is coming into your life? And ultimately, what sin does is comes in to corrupt us. That is the work it wants to do. It wants to plant all seeds to enforce the lies. But Jesus comes to give truth. Truth manifested through him. Notice in Romans chapter 1 with me. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is inspired to write in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." If they're clearly seen, how can so many people look at the attributes of creation and not see God? You see, we approach the creation with a bias. We approach the creation not for what it is, but rather saying, no, that happened by chance. It'd be like if all your life you were taught that cars evolved. What really happens is there's a pit in Michigan where people go and Fords appear. They evolve out of this muck and they're fully operational vehicles and they call them out and they give them to you. That's where cars come from. And all those systems so magically just come together. The way the tires work, the way the systems of fuel and energy work, and all of the things that are in a vehicle, they just come about by themselves. But isn't that kind of silly to us? Isn't that kind of ridiculous? Don't you see there had to be some intelligence behind it? Somebody put that together, right? And yet here we are spinning on a ball. It goes round. Every 24 hours, it goes round. And not only does it go round, but it goes around as it goes around. And it has a moon that stays with it in rotation around it that nobody can really seem to explain how a moon even got into an orbit around the Earth. It seems not able to happen by chance. And somehow, through all of this spinning and cycle, we have day and we have night. We have life. We have breath here. We have things happening. And all of these planets that are in our solar system, they all rest on a plane. Why are they all on the same plane? How did that happen? They're all on the same plane. Isn't that magical? Did it really just happen? And somehow the flower and the bees and the birds, they all happened at the same time. Isn't that amazing? It just so happened that the right animal and the right plant evolved simultaneously so they could have this symbiotic relationship together. And what was it that popped out first? Was it the chicken or the egg? Did that spring up from the dust? Which one was it? I'm telling you, that is more ridiculous than me telling you that Ford's come out of a pit in Detroit. It's easier to build a Ford truck than it is to build this planet, this solar system, and what happens here. We stand in miracles, and they're all around us. The attributes of God just didn't happen by itself. It's obnoxious to think it. And God says this. He says, verse 20, "His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." Yep, I get it. "Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Scary. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to intercede. Too many people have been taught lies for too long. They don't see God anymore in the beauty of creation. "Because," verse 21, "although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now, here's the thing about believing lies as opposed to believing truth. This is where it takes its spiral dive. You got to know this. Your Christianity, hear me on this, your Christianity will be futile if you continue to ignore the truth of God in your life and let lies continue to be the thing dictates your behavior. You've got to expunge it. This is where spiritual warfare really takes place. You want to cast out demons? Great. You know how to do it? Get the authority of Christ in the life instead of something wicked. You want to change your life? Get the authority of Christ in your life instead of something wicked. It's the same thing. The bringing of the kingdom of God to you and me, what Jesus was demonstrating in his ministry when he preached, he taught, he healed, and he cleansed of uncleanness, was to bring the authority of God into the lives of each individual person. That was the amazing work that he was doing on earth, and that is the amazing work he is doing today. To bring the light of truth, that the gospel could shine, that we could see what it is. Notice it says in verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Do you see how powerful this is? That God is willing to let you to believe a lie if you want, but he's showing you the truth to say, here's the real thing. There is a God who made all things. He created everything. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die and be a propitiation for all the rebellion, all the rejection of the good and godly authority for what is evil. He's saying, I want to wash all the evil, all the sin from your life, that God would have the authority in you. And that authority has been given to you, but you've got to walk in it. You have to apply it. You actually have to live it. It doesn't help you if you don't put the blood on the doorposts of your life. It doesn't help you if you're a hearer of the word only and not a doer. The transformation takes place by you loving and believing the truth. So he says, verse 26, so for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Why? Because they wouldn't accept the truth. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. So God gave them up to vile passions. Even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And men also, they left the natural use of the woman and burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. This is the way it goes. We become debased. The more lie we believe, the more our lives become lies. Don't be surprised that it happens. God says he made them male and female. Well, to some in society, they say, no, that's not true. There's other things yet to be revealed. I don't know about that. He made them male and female. That's the truth. Biologically, I can look at it and say, that's true. We can reject it. God lets us do that, but it doesn't make it true. One of the biggest things that this world has confused, and one of the great lies, is that if you love people, you will support their lies. That you will go along and pretend it's true when it's not. That's a lie. Once you do that, you must confess that you went from love to appeasement. Supporting a person in carrying out what is false is not love. Love is saying, I am here to support you in what is right and true. Because what happens to those that reject God, even his existence, go this way? If you read all the way through chapter 1 and all the way into chapter 2, you find out in verse 32, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Why would I support something in somebody that's going to lead them to death? Whose side am I on here? Just because somebody's in bondage doesn't mean I need to agree with their bondage. But I love them and want them to come to the knowledge of the truth so that they can love God and see who God made them to be, and that their identity would be in God and not in the creation, in who God is and loving him and not in the desires of their own flesh. We pervert our identity when we find an identity outside of God who created us, and we make it of our own desire and ego and pride. And in our lives, we need to understand that maybe you're not doing what is spoken of here in Romans chapter 1 about men with men and women with women, but are you following what Jesus said in Matthew 5? And if you're doing that, what about chapter 6? And what about chapter 7? Where are your points where you're not believing the truth? Because right now, that is the safest place for you to focus your spiritual warfare and attention on believing the truth in your own life. God loves you, and he created you to know this. Jesus Christ is returning, and it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the coming of Christ, that he will cast out the lawless one, but the lawless one is at work. And what is lawlessness? Where does it come from? It comes from believing lies rather than truth. So you want to believe the lies, God says, you can believe a lie, but don't think that it's without any consequence, because God knows what you know and God knows what you practice. And each one of us is responsible for ourselves, but as a fellowship, we can also be accountability partners to each other, to be tending toward the truth, to be tending toward life that is in Jesus. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. It's one of the reasons he says in John 18 that he was sent to this earth. He came to be a king and to give witness to the truth. You and me have a responsibility that, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, that we would give our lives for the truth. I encourage you to do this. I encourage you to seek out in God's word the things where your life and your thoughts aren't consistent with it. And then renounce the things that work against that truth in your life, and embrace and ask for God's blessing that you can actually do it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we humble ourselves before you here today as we think about your word, we think about your truth, and we understand, God, that there have been so many lies that have been spread throughout humanity, and we pass them on to each other. So many things that we direct, that we do among each other, and in ways that we can oppress without even knowing it. But God, you sent your son Jesus that we could see a light of truth, that we could see hope, that we could see love and faithfulness and goodness. And God, these are the things that we desire, not as the world would teach us, but as you would teach us. For in you is all truth. Your commandments are righteous and just. Your ways are above our ways. And God, so much of your word is hard for us because we don't have ways like you. But God, you have the power to rewrite everything that is within. In fact, you promised in this new covenant we made with you that you would write your laws in our hearts and in our minds. We ask, God, that you would write them in us, that your truth would be found in our thinking, in our beliefs, and that it would be carrying out to our behaviors, and that, God, you would give us the spirit of justice, mercy, and faith that comes from you, that you would give us a heart of love and honor, and that we would be hospitable to one another and to carry forth your mission to continue to preach, teach, heal, and free those who are captives. God, that we can be a part of your business on this earth. God, we ask for the help in our own lives. We ask for the help in our families, in this church, and in the society, wherever we can be a blessing to others and give glory to you. We ask for your help in this. Please send us, God. Please help us to be the children you've made us to be and to fight this warfare against the lies and the deception, to overcome it with your word of truth, and that we would be a people who continually seeks to worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you and praise you and thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.